Welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa. I'm your host. And in today's episode, I'm speaking with John Solider, author, speaker, and entrepreneur. John and I speak about strategies for becoming an even better version of yourself, how to gain clarity on what you actually want, and more. If you like the show, please subscribe and give us a rating or share the episode on your social media. Thank you so much. And as always, if you want personalized help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we are your go-to coaches. Just hit the contact link in the show notes for more details. Now onto my conversation with John. John Solider, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
It is my absolute pleasure. I'm really excited to talk about self-development, talk about health, talk about your books. But before we do, I would love to hear from you. What is the number one thing you're excited for our listeners to learn today?
You know, I love to tell people that, you know, success is really an inside job. And your self-development and building your brand. And your brand is an extension of who you are as a human being. Okay. It's not everything about you, but it's a lot about you. And then it's really an inside job. The books you read these days, the podcasts that you listen to, the things that you allow into your mind. Okay. Just like, you know, on the nutrition end, the things that we put into our mouth, everything has an influence. The great Bruce Lee had a statement that you don't even tell yourself you're a failure fooling around. Because you will convince your mind of whatever you feed it. And I've honestly believed that now for some 42 years. It didn't start out that way, I have to tell you. It started out with self-doubt, family doubt, excuses, blame everybody, blame my parents, blame my sisters, blame the economy, blame, you know, blame, 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 like so many people do. And I heard a guy say in Hartford, Connecticut, that for things to change, you have to change. And for things to get better, you have to get better. And it was, to be honest with you, it was like somebody took their hand and slapped me across the face and said, he's talking to you. And I stayed excited about my self-development now for 42 years. And I'm just as committed to it in 2025 as I was way, way back in 1983 when I started not only my first business, but I came to that revelation that I was the brand. And I had to constantly work on that brand. And that brand has had to evolve with technology today being so different. You know, I started my first business, the phone plugged into the wall. Today, I've got something that I can launch a space shuttle with, right? So that's my dog, by the way. One of my dogs, that's Goose. Anyway, you know, and to that point, we have to continue to evolve and get better and work on ourselves as the brand.
Very, very. I love that message. And I'm very excited for people to hear more about that, to hopefully internalize that. And then not just that, but to take action on that as well. And I assume that the book that you wrote, which is also for those of you watching, the title or what John has printed on his t-shirt, Leave Nothing to Chance, is kind of along the lines of what you just said. Or can you give us an insight? What inspired you to write this book? And what's really in the book?
Well, to back up one second, okay, I wrote my first book in 2005, which seems like a long, well, it is a long time ago. It's 20 years ago, hard to believe. And it was called Moving Up. And I wrote a second one, kind of to update it, like you do with a lot of books. I went vertical, you know, with this idea of moving up. And then 2020, of course, was coming along. So in 2019, I started to put that together, Moving Up. Really a book about the direct selling industry, some of the things that I had done, some of the things other people who I had coached had done successfully to build businesses with some real like strategies and tactics. And then like a lot of brands, it got old. It was like, okay, I've done this 20 years, same concept. Let's retire the concept. Not that the concept's bad, by the way. You're going to read a lot of stuff in here, like the 10 penny principle. Very basic thing. Put 10 pennies in your left pocket. Every time you talk to a prospect for your business, move it to your right side. Okay. So to speak, I mean, very simple stuff like that, that you can apply, whether you're in real estate, insurance, automobile sales, network marketing, you name it. If you sell for a living or you market for a living, a lot of great stuff. Anyway. And then I said, well, I had always told my kids, my son was a hockey player. They have to try out every year for travel teams. Eventually for other teams as they get older. My daughter was a figure skater. Very subjective sport. You have five people sitting there judging you, everything from how you're dressed to how your hair is done to what you do on the ice. And when they were both little kids, I told them both, leave nothing to chance. If you think there's something in your routine, Grace, that you need to put in there, put it in. Don't leave it out. Okay. Same thing with Fred. During a hockey tryout, don't score two goals, score three. Why? Because one time, honestly, he had a coach who was drinking a cup of coffee, had his back turned when he scored a beautiful goal, and the coach didn't see and didn't take him on that particular team. They made another team that year. But my point was, I always put this in their head. And then I even got shirts made saying, leave nothing to chance, with a picture of a guy that looked like George Patton on it saying, leave nothing to chance. And long story short, they used to wear it under their uniforms. And it became a philosophy. So I said, well, let me write a book based on that philosophy, leave nothing to chance. So that's what this book is about. It's a little bit of my life story, a little bit of my co-author's life story, right? Very different. I raised in New Jersey. He was raised in Ghana. Okay, two very different people, but some of the things we overcame. And then we got about 15 other people in the book, the things that they overcame and how they left nothing to chance to become successful in their lives. So that's kind of what this one's. This one's more self-development. This one's more practical stuff to do in the business. But then we had this little thing that happened called COVID. This one comes out December 19. This one comes out February 2020. Like, if you were going to pick the wrong time to launch a book as a public speaker, that would have been about the time, right? So what do? You go to my two favorite words in business, pivot and agile. I pivoted where I said the 60 cities I was to be in and speak in aren't going to happen. I could show up. They might let me in the hotel, but there's not going to be anybody in the audience. So I lost my audience. So I pivoted to podcasting. I said, okay, I can get out there and I can pivot, okay, so to speak. Think of it this way. Think we've all played basketball at some point in our lives, right? Not well in my case. But anyway, a pivot, right? You got your back to the basket, a guy throws you the ball, you pivot on your foot to face the basket and throw the ball in. That's kind of what we do in business. We've got to pivot sometimes. From, oh, this door closed, I got to open this door to succeed. And from an agility standpoint, it became, okay, what else can I do besides podcast? I can do Zoom calls. I could do other things utilizing technology, webinars, all sorts of things. I can get my communication skills better in terms of communicating with people, et cetera, which all goes back to my original statement about what? Self-development. Some of these things I was not very good at, quite honestly. Okay, now I'm used to being in front of an audience, so that didn't bother me, but it's like all of a sudden I'm talking to my computer rather than talking to a live human being. So I had to make those changes, and that's where the agility comes in, the ability to move side to side, if you will, or forward and back sometimes. And we have to do that in business to survive. And we have to do that for another reason, not only survival, but we also have to do that because we're living in a very, very fast-paced world. This technology is changing. For example, about a year ago, if you said to me, what do you think of AI, John? I'd say, I know nothing about it. I don't care to know anything about it. I'm an old guy. I'm already a senior citizen. I don't need to know about it. Ask my son, who's an electrical, soon to be an electrical engineer and full stack coder. Ask him. That's his world. And then all of a sudden, I got an email. I got an email in October about my podcast. And this guy tells me in the email how much he loves my podcast. And you get these emails, right? You love this, right? Oh, wow. You puff your chest out, right? You feel good. And then I finally meet the guy. And we have a conversation. He says, what do you think of my emails? Wow, it was great. Thank you so much. He goes, I never listened to your show. I say, well, what are you talking about? He goes, my AI wrote that email. My AI uses word searches to listen to podcasts like yours. And he's a business guy. He says, and I thought I'd be a good guest on your show when I looked at your show. Yeah, it makes sense, right? AI, interesting. Okay, so here's a story. Out of that relationship, because AI creates relationships with human beings still, while it's a robot, it still creates you and I, okay, human beings. Out of that relationship with my network marketing brand, which is a very heavy medical brand out of Canada, okay, I met a woman in Malibu, California, who's a medical public relations person. Okay. She introduced me to the publisher of a magazine called Top Doctor Magazine, second most read publication in the medical field by doctors. And out of eight, in other words, without that AI contact leading me to meet from this guy, his name's Chris, leads me to meet Diana. Diana introduces me to John. John publishes the magazine. As we speak, my company's on the front cover of that magazine.
Wow.
I don't know what that's going to lead to sales-wise, but here's what I know. If I had said, oh, you contacted me through AI, I don't know anything about that. I don't want to know about that. I don't want to talk to you. That good relationship that happened never would have happened. Okay. That's once again agility to go, hey, I don't have to understand this. I don't, and I don't understand AI. I'm not even going to pretend to. But what I do understand is it's part of our world. Now, 25 years ago, Bill Gates made a statement that there were going to be two types of businesses in the world, those on the internet and those that decline the internet. And oh, there'll also be two types of businesses, those that succeed on the internet, those that are out of business. I don't want to be on the internet. That's 25 years ago, not a long time ago in my life. Okay, I was already an adult. So now we look at AI, it's the same thing. Okay, so once again, from a self-development standpoint, am I embracing these things? And the second part of that is podcasting. Okay, what you and I are doing, reaching people and audiences that otherwise would have no idea who either one of us were. Okay, why, and I'm not telling everybody to start a podcast, you don't have to, it's a lot of work, as you and I know, and it's not a profit center. Unless you're Joe Rogan. Okay, you do this because it's good for your frequency and your reputation and getting people to know you. But how important has podcasting become? Well, and I'm not being political here one way or another. I just finished a show with a guy about politics. Anyway, Donald Trump was on 100 podcasts because his son Barron said, Dad, people under 40 don't listen to Fox News, CNN, or MSNBC. They don't, and you know, I see it in my own house. My kids do not watch TV, period. They know those stations exist, I think, but they don't watch them, right? So they're not getting their news from those three major sources of news. How are they getting news? From their phone, and in some cases, from podcasts. Kamala Harris, she chose to be on, I think, four podcasts. She only reached four podcasters' audiences as opposed to Trump reached 100. As we get to 2028 and beyond, the podcast is the new media. Why? You have people who follow you. I have people who follow me to listen to our shows. Doesn't mean they even necessarily agree with us politically, but if we had a candidate on who said, well, if I'm elected, here's what I'm going to do, they're going to reach people that otherwise they wouldn't reach. So to all of those points, that's all. If I put out a banner and the banner read, what is self-development to John Solitor in 2025? It's everything I just mentioned and a lot more that's coming down the road. But I continue to work on myself. Okay. I continue to read. I continue to listen to podcasts like yours and other people's. I continue to self-educate. Okay. I continue to read at least 8 to 10 books a month.
Wow.
You
I
know, because I.
love that message. I absolutely love the message of continuing to grow, to challenge yourself, to keep that open-mindedness when it comes to, okay, maybe I don't like the change that I'm seeing right now, or maybe I don't even see the benefit, but I'm gonna either learn about it or get someone to help me utilize it because I need to move with the times. The one quote which has helped me so many times in my life is, nothing in life is certain other than change, or something like along the lines. And like I think that they're so true, that is so true, because we often try to cling on to what we currently have or how a certain person is. And the truth is, none of us stay the same day by day, and we would deem well to get to know our partners again and again and again over and over because they evolve, get to know our partner, our parents over and over, and keep developing our business because the world is going to continue to evolve. And if you don't continue to evolve with it, you're going to fall behind or going to get forced to evolve. So I really, really like that message that you're bringing out there. And I would love to hear what, like, a few more of these 15 success strategies that you have in that in your book.
One of which is about seasons. Okay, is that we all go through seasons, right? The late Jim Rohn wrote a book called The Seasons of Life, for example, and we talk about the seasons a little bit. Okay, every one of us goes through stuff. In my case, I lost a baby. Okay, my wife and I our oldest daughter's now 30, but our second child, unfortunately, 8 months into the pregnancy, didn't show up. Heartbreaking. You fall back on your faith and you fall back on your self-development, which I believe faith and self-development are one and the same. Okay. It was a very challenging time in my life. That would be a season. Now, somebody might look in from the outside and say, well, you were already financially successful, which I was. It didn't change the fact that my daughter wasn't here. And we were very blessed, and we had two more children after that that are both healthy. But my point is, no matter who you are, you're going to go through seasons in your life. Okay, you're going to go through the death of someone, an illness, maybe yours, maybe your spouse's, maybe your best friend, maybe your one of your children, God forbid. Okay, or a parent. I mean, we've all buried parents at this point in life. Okay, we go through all of these things no matter how successful we are. How do we go through those things? Do they destroy us? Okay, if you lose a business, I mean, I made a lot of money. I've also lost a lot of money. Okay, I mean, I'll be honest with you. You can be an entrepreneur who says, oh, every deal I ever made. Yeah, ask the guys on Shark Tank. They'll be the first ones to tell you, yeah, I do 50 deals a year, and about four turn out to be incredible. A few turn out to be okay, and the rest close down. I lose my investment. Okay, that's just reality. All right, accepting that those are realities, be they in business or in life, is something that we all have to accept. Okay, that things happen, no matter what your last name is, no matter what neighborhood you're born in. Okay, some people are born with a silver spoon. Most people grind it out to make a living and figure it out. And they're always marketing. If they're marketing people, we're always marketing whatever it is, our brand, our product, ourselves, our service, whatever it happens to be. Recognizing that, okay? And recognizing that it's not supposed to be easy. It's supposed to challenge you. God gave us these magnificent things called brains. And most people, they don't bother to use them the way they should. Challenge yourself at
Yeah,
all ages.
I love that
So.
in all aspects. I love that in terms of mentally, in terms of obviously physically. When our listeners will know that, we want to challenge ourselves when it comes to training, when it comes to eating well, and so on. But yeah, I want to shift gears a tiny little bit into again getting more into self-development and self-progression. So what I have often heard, or even also just felt myself, is yes, I want to progress. I want to keep growing, but I don't actually know what I want. I don't have any clarity on what my next goal should, quote unquote, should be. I don't know if I'm making the right decisions if I'm faced with two things. And I think that that is often really, really hard to dissect because of course, our comfort system or our body wants to keep us in the comfort zone. And sometimes it's hard to differentiate that from simply our intuition saying, oh, no, this is the wrong decision. So I'm curious, do you have any tips on, well, finding some clarity when it comes to setting goals and also having clarity when it comes to making a decision?
Wow, a great question, by the way. Okay, so first thing in goal setting, long term is really important. For example, I always tell people make a 20-year goal. Close your eyes, Okay, and if you're at home, don't do it if you're driving, by the way. But if you're at home, close your eyes for a few minutes and just think about what it is that I want 20 years from now. Okay, what do I want? Do I want to be living in a different place? Maybe I'm single and I want to find my that partner, that life partner. Maybe my kids are little. I want them to go to college, okay? Or I want whatever I want, hopefully in their life, et cetera, et cetera. So 20 years. Now, when you close your eyes for 20 years, boy, it's really easy to let your mind go. Because 20 years is a long time. Not as long as you think, by the way. There was a time when 20 years was a long time. Now, for me, it's like 20 years is not that long. But 20 years in the future. And then you go, okay, now same thing, 10 years. What do I want in 10 years? And by the way, write these things down. You have to write these things down. Not on your phone. Write them down longhand. Grab a pen. Write them down on a piece of paper. Stick it in your wallet. Okay? Stick it on your bulletin board. Stick it on your laptop, whatever. Then from 10 years, go to 5 years. 5 years, 3 years. 3 years, 1 year. Now, 1 year goes by in a blink of an eye, especially as we get older. I mean, here in America, I always feel like it's like New Year's Eve, which is my son's birthday, another year, and then it's 4th of July weekend. And it's like, wow. And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I don't know, it's like Halloween, Thanksgiving. Wow, we're back to Christmas. And by the way, this seems like it happens faster and faster every year as you get older. But down to 1 year, 12 months, 365 days. Okay. And then cut it again. 6 months, 3 months, 1 month, 1 week, and then the hard one day. Okay. Now one day is something that programs like AA, NA, all the different programs of stop drinking, stop smoking, stop doing drugs, stop doing horrible things to your body are predicated on. Because if you make it through one day, you can make it through the next day. But if you can't make it through one day, you can't make it necessarily the next day follow, right? So one day. Now, if you're in business, a one-day goal is how many people do I need to talk to about my product? How many people I need to talk about my service? How many people do I need to do a podcast with? How many people do I need to talk about my book to, et cetera. Those are one day goals in business. What about one day goals with nutrition? What am I going to put in my body? When I decided 8 years ago, 8 years ago, I weighed over 300 pounds. Okay.
Wow.
I was always an athlete. Okay? I was always involved with judo and jiu-jitsu and sambo and way back wrestling. So I was always an athletic big guy, but all of a sudden I was becoming an athletic, big, older guy with lots and lots of injuries. So I was sitting in a restaurant eating a four cheese hamburger. Not proud of this, by the way. Four cheese hamburger on a Friday night. My son was at the rink playing hockey. I was waiting for him to finish practice. And I said, tomorrow, I'm going to go vegetarian for one day. Just not going to eat meat. Not really veg. Just not going to eat meat. I'll eat pasta tomorrow or whatever. One day became two. And then the universe kicked in. Later that week, I'm at the gym and I couldn't even run. I'm walking on the treadmill. And there's a show, and I forget the woman's name who hosted the show, but she used to be on Fox. Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly had a talk show in the morning. And these three obese guys, they show these three obese guys, and all of a sudden they come out and they're not obese. They're in great shape. And the one references a documentary called Forks Over Knives. I never heard of. I got home, I said to my wife, I said, do we have this documentary? She said, I don't know. Let me check on, I think it was on Netflix. And that night we watched that. It was a game changer. It told me why I felt better not consuming meat. Now, I'm not telling everybody you need to become vegetarian. This worked for me personally. Okay. And all of a sudden I started realizing that some of the things I was putting in my body, processed food, for example, was not only why I was overweight, but it was why my joints hurt so bad. It was like, probably shouldn't do this. Now, I was lucky. I was not a drinker or a smoker. I chose not to be. My father was an alcoholic. So my 20th birthday, I stopped drinking. I've never drank since, never smoked. I mean, it's disgusting. But so I had good health habits. I was good with taking my supplements. I was in the supplement industry, so I was good, religious about that. But I ate junk. And all of a sudden, I didn't feel good constantly. And all of a sudden, I started eating more fruits, more vegetables. I started feeling better. Once again, it was a choice. It was part of my self-development. I said, let me improve my diet. Okay. And so once again, what I put in my mouth was a choice. And now 8 years later, now I've gone to Gamut. Now I've gone vegan. So it's like now I'm really extreme. Now I'm a real minority group, by the way. Okay, but I don't know that we want to talk that much about that. But my point is, okay, whatever it is that works for you, do it. Okay, but do it consistently. One of the mistakes that I find with people is they want to be vegan this week, carnivore next week, something else in between, a pescatarian the following week. Folks, your body doesn't work that way. Your body needs consistency to get healthy. Okay.
100%. Yeah. Consistency is absolutely one of my favorite words, as many people listening will know. I really like the concept of backpedaling your goals. I do think, or like reverse engineering, as we might say. I think there another a quote a lot of people might be familiar with is, we underestimate what we can achieve in 10 years, but we overestimate what we can achieve in like half a year or a week or whatever. I think it's something to the likes. I'm butchering the quote probably, but I think like having that long-term vision, thinking big, dreaming big, and then cutting it down into actionable steps, something that you can or should do tomorrow or on a daily basis going forward to get you there, is a really, really great point. And I love that you mentioned putting it pen on paper. As great as AI or whatever other technology might be, there is something about literally writing it out. And I think the research supports that as well, that just in the process of putting it onto paper, seeing that in front of you, maybe even ripping that out of your notebook, putting it on your fridge, and seeing that over and over and over again, it's just priming your brain for like what you should strive for and the person that you want to become. And I want to go back to the second part of the question, which was how to differentiate sometimes if you're caught between a couple of decisions, like you have two big decisions or two big options, and you're like, oh, I don't know which one is right. Somehow I don't know if this is my gut telling me I should pick option A or if it's my past self, my comfort zone telling me to pick option A. I think it's so difficult sometimes to make big decisions. Do you have any
It's
tips
hard.
on that?
Robert Frost, the poet, had that great line, and I'm going to butcher it, right? But two roads diverge in the woods, but you can only pick one, right? And for me, like going back in my history, okay, I had a choice when I was getting out of college, and I was going to go and serve our country. Okay, I thought, okay, I'm gonna get out of college, and I was already meeting with a Marine recruiter, and that's pretty much what I thought I was gonna do in April of 1983. And then a guy named Tom Husted, who I knew, he was a very good high school wrestler, college wrestler, was a couple of years older than me, walked into the gym that I was selling health club memberships at, and he told me about a business I could start for $32. I had no idea to start a business. What kind of business? It was a supplement business with a direct selling company. And I started it in the very first month. I made $800, which, by the way, $800 in 1983 is about $2,500 today. That was real money. And nobody had credit card. So it was cash. Like you walked around, you had the money in your wallet, right? You paid for gas or food or whatever. It was like you had money. And that changed my life. And when I think about your question, right, like two roads diverged in the woods. I don't know what would have happened if I had gone into the Marine Corps. I'll never know because I didn't do it. But the decision I made, I've got to be comfortable. And I think this is the real wisdom of your question and the answer is be good with the answer that you give yourself. Trust that you made the right decision. Okay. Once you're in, you got to sink the boat, so to speak. Okay. You can't be constantly vacillating. Well, what if? What if I had married this person? What if I had gone to this school? What if I had been born in this family or this neighborhood? Hey, what it is. You can't change that. But once you make a decision, it doesn't mean you can't work within that decision to improve whatever the decision you made is. But once you go, go. If you vacillate, you're going to have a problem. So whatever that decision is, jump in with both feet, dedicate yourself, put the process in place, okay, to achieve whatever it is. You decide you want to be a doctor and you start medical school, but you think, well, maybe I should have been a lawyer. Well, wait a minute. if you're taking anatomy and biology and all these things, and like you got to focus on them. You want to be an airline pilot. You can't be up there in the air and thinking, you know, I think I want to be a plumber. Think about that when you're on the ground. Okay. I mean, like once you go. And that's what I did. Even way back in 83, and I was just a baby. I didn't realize I was a baby. I thought I was an adult, but I was a baby in so many ways. But when I went into the direct selling industry, I got very dedicated to it. I started to read books by people like Zig Ziglar and Jim Rohn. I started to read the self-development works of people like James Allen, As a Man Thinketh, Think and Grow Rich by Dr. Phil, The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace T. Wattles, and very first book I ever read. I was actually in a hospital with back surgery when I was 17. The very first book I ever read on self-development, Power of Positive Thinking by Dr. Norman Vincent Peale. And there were others, and on and on and on. I just kind of inundated myself with this information constantly where I could quote these people. I can still quote some of them after 40 years, okay? Because I started to adapt the ideas that they had that were positive. And I applied them to my business. Now, I didn't become super successful. I wasn't one of those overnight, rags to riches. And first of all, I wasn't living in rags. I was living in a decent house, okay, decent home. But at the end of the day, I also, realized, hey, I want things out of my life that my parents didn't have, opportunities. I wanted to travel. Okay, I didn't want to be in one place all the time. All the things that I wanted that I knew were the outcome of building the type of business that I built, okay, were, could give me the results that I wanted to have in my life and the experiences that I wanted to have. And like as we speak, I've been in 63 countries in my life because I
Amazing.
wanted to go. You hear of Switzerland, I want to go. You hear of Germany, I want to go. You hear of, I just got back from Costa Rica, for example. Like I want to go there. I want to see that. I want to, before I close my eyes, I actually want to see it. I don't want to see it on the internet. I want to see it. I want to touch it. I want to smell it. I want to feel it, right? And that transcends for your listeners. It's like, folks, whatever your thing is, once you go, go. Okay? You go 100%. And then maybe this was the key for me anyway, was I became a student of the things that I wanted to do in my life. Okay? When I became raw vegan, I started to read all the raw vegan books. I started listening to all the raw vegan podcasts. I got a raw vegan mentor, a guy named Fran Turk, that from Argentina who lives in Costa Rica now. Him and his wife became my mentors, for example. And oh, and here's another point. I mentioned mentors. I've had great mentors. I've had people who have shown me the way on different things. Doesn't mean they could say, here's exactly what you do, John, and this will work. No. It meant they said, hey, in my experience, you got to do this or that. Here's how I would do it, or here's how I did something similar. So I've been blessed to have really good mentors. My very first one, I had a number of them when I was young, but the first one who talked to me about mentorship, this will shock you and your listeners, President Ronald Reagan. You're like, yeah, exactly. What happened? My college commencement, Reagan was the commencement speaker. And I was still, now I'm 30 days in my own business and I'm still looking for a job, right? Because that's what you do. You get a college education, you get a job, at least in 1983. And you had a resume that said back then your name and your phone number, right? Today it's like your name, your phone number, your Twitter account, your X account, your this, your 17 social medias, right? Still, you don't know anything still, but you think you do. But anyhow, I'm out there looking for a job. And President Reagan talked about the fact in 1932, he graduated college. He went back to the swimming hole where he had been a lifeguard previously because there were no jobs. He meets a man who's very successful in business who shares with him how you become successful. And this very successful man says, well, it's real simple. You find a business you're passionate about, and you have somebody that knows that business, teach it to you, that mentor you. And in Reagan's case, it turned out to be broadcasting was what he wanted to do. He got into it. He became an announcer for an affiliate of the Chicago Cubs baseball team, and eventually somebody heard him and they moved him to California, and as I say, the rest is history. But when I heard Reagan talk about that mentorship, I'm thinking I'm being mentored by people in a company that was already doing, at that time, it had done about $140 million in sales the previous year. So I'm thinking I got people teaching me who are already doing what I want to do. And I go back to sports for a second. I think of the great wrestlers that I knew, the great judokas that I knew. They were all great mentors, not only to me, but to other people in their sport, right? You think about, anything in life, there's somebody's already done it or some semblance of it of what you want to do. Find that person. These days, it's easy. 1983, there's no internet. You want to find them, you read their book. Okay? You go to the library. You self-educate. Today, you pick up your phone and you go, I'm interested in da, da, da. I'm interested right now in a thing called clip farming that some of your listeners know about, some don't. That's how I've evolved, by the way, in the last year. I'm even talking about clip farming now. You know what that is, some of your listeners. It's basically where you get affiliates to sell your product for you. Okay. And building a clip farming army as we speak of social media influencers. But anyway, even in that, I reached out and I found somebody that could teach me about it because I don't know about it. Okay. Teach me. I know the concept, but I have no idea how to fulfill doing what it is that I need to do here. Let me find somebody. And by the way, that does cost money. But here's the other thing. I could go all day on the internet and go clip farming, right? How to build a podcast, how to build AI, how to do this, how to do this, how to write a book online. I mean, these things all exist today. We're living in a fascinating time. We're living at a time that there's never been a time like this previously.
I
So
think
why
there are
don't you
so many great points, John. And so firstly, I really want to highlight that message of trusting the decision, even if you're subconsciously still like unsure. And it's always going to be like a Schrodinger's cat sort of scenario. You're never going to know, but you need to go 100% all in. And we're not saying, I don't think, at least, I don't think we're saying, you need to be super intense. What I mean with that is like in nutrition, I often see people that are like, I want to jump in with both feet. And then, exactly to your previous point, they do something so extreme that they can never sustain for longer than like a couple of weeks. And then they go back to what they were doing prior. No, I think what you're saying is I'm going to make the decision to become a healthier person. I'm going to make the decision to aim for this different job. I'm going to make the decision to marry this person. And then just make the best out of this situation and put your best forward as well. So I love that. And I love your continuous curiosity and just enthusiasm for life. That's at least what it sounds like to me when it comes to travels. I love we both share. I have actually, I would say you're probably one of the first people I have met that have beat my travel ambitions, because I've been to 53 countries. So you're up on 10 countries. I mean, so I have some catching up to do here.
I'm a lot older, so you got plenty of time.
Okay, that's good. But yeah, no, I truly think that that is wonderful for me, curiosity and just like that drive to explore and explore the world and learn from the world. For me, that's a quality I love seeing in other people. And I always want to foster in myself also because I mean, continuous learning, whatever that might look like, whether it's learning a new language, whether it's learning about clip farming or whatever, it also keeps our brain active. It keeps us healthy. And like, there are so many great aspects to that. And I want to so circle a little bit around to the initial thing that you said in the sense of, achieving anything or success of any kind is an inside job. And I would love to hear if you have a couple of practical habits, so to speak, aside from like continuing to learn or traveling or whatever, but just a few things that people can do on a daily basis to foster that inside job of I'm becoming an even more successful version of myself.
Well, here's a couple of habits, and I love that question, by the way. Thank you for asking it. First habit, get up early. And you might say to yourself, well, that sounds pretty simple, but I like to watch TV till 12 o'clock at night. So I get up late and then I rush off to work and I got a cup of coffee in my hand and everything is helter skelter. No. If you want to be successful, you got to get up early. Whether you want to train early in the gym, I'm an early morning gym guy. Like if I get back to my house and the sun's up, I'm late. Okay. That's important to me is that I train in the morning. Why? Because all day I'm going podcasts, all my business ventures, dealing with people that I'm gonna be on their show, they're gonna be on my show. I'm constantly writing. Anyway, that's me. You got your own things, whatever it is you're doing, but successful people get up early. Okay, Hal Elrod wrote an entire book about this, by the way, the 5 a.m. Club, which I'm not a member of, by the way. I've read his book and I know of him. He's a good friend of a friend of mine in California. But the point is, really successful people get up early. I've had clients, okay, two in particular, one who was a billionaire and the other was close to it, that I've worked with, and I've helped them to buy businesses within my industry. I get texts from these guys 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. I mean, the idea of the idle rich laying in bed eating bonbons, no. Successful people get up early. There's a second point. If you're an entrepreneur or a wannabe entrepreneur, okay, your brain wakes up early. The people in India, for example, that study Ayurvedic medicine, okay, ancient medicine, 10,000 years old, along with traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, and two oldest forms of medicine, to my knowledge, might be something older, but those two have been around a while. They'll tell you, okay, that the brain is supposed to wake up and does wake up about 45 minutes before first light. So depending on where you live in the world, okay, first light here in Texas this time of year is about 6 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it's about 5:15. Your brain, if you're an entrepreneur, it's starting to worry. It's going, I got to call so and so today. I got to do this. I got to think about this. I got to think about clip farming or podcasting or AI or whatever it is that's your thing, right? Your brain starts working. So why not get up and work with it instead of fighting to sleep more? Okay. Now, that means probably on the other end, you may not be able to stay up this time of year and watch your favorite NBA team or NHL team play in the playoffs if they're playing a late game on the West Coast, for example. You tell them a sports fan. What do I do? I tape it. I get up. I still say tape it. Record it, I guess. You don't tape things anymore. That was a younger. But here's my point. I'm going to know who won the game. I can go to ESPN.com or whatever, and I can know in 2 minutes, or I can turn it on while I'm getting ready to go to the gym. I can listen to the last 5 minutes, and I know who won. Now, let me tell you something. There's nobody on the ice or the court that really cares whether I think, you know, they did or didn't do a good job. They don't care. They get paid to do what they get to do. I get paid to do what I get to do. Okay, which means I need to be on my game, which means I need to be up. I need to train. I need to keep my body healthy. I need to hydrate. Okay, I need to get my nutrition. And then I need to get to work. Okay, you want a success as an entrepreneur? Repeat that process day in, month in, year in, decade in, decades in, and all of a sudden, you're going to have achieved what it is that you wanted to achieve. Does that mean you're going to be Elon Musk or Bill Gates or Warren Buffett? No, those aren't the only successful people in the world. Success is relative, okay, not only to where you start, but what you achieve over the course of your life, okay? But successful people get up early. I know in sports, the successful guys, you know, Kobe Bryant, he used to drive his teammates nuts. Why? If practice was at 8 o'clock in the morning, he'd come in. He already had his first workout and breakfast because he was shooting foul shots at 5:30 in the morning. He's so good. Well, you know, you go down, you know, they go down the sports rabbit hole. Tom Brady, same thing. He used to beat everybody in the locker room. Best guy in the history of the National Football League, 7 Super Bowl rings. He'd be there early, and he'd be the last guy out at night. Okay. Once again, success leaves clues, whether it's sports, whether I'm sure it's the same thing in the arts world. The successful people, they love what they do, and they're constantly saying, how do I get better at what I do? And in your own business, your job is to continue to get better. Your job is to continue to evolve. You can't do that laying in bed till 8:30 in the morning, you know, getting up, big yawn. Okay, let me go to the gym. Let me start my day at 11. Hey, the rest of the world's been at work for 4 or 5 hours. And if you're in business these days, and you know, I get there's businesses that are, you know, bricks and mortar in a particular market. If you're in that business, you know, great, you're in a certain, you know, time zone. But most of us who are in business today, including with podcasts, we're dealing with people all over the world. So it might be 6 o'clock in the morning in Dallas. Well, guess what? My buddy in Manila that I talked to, Chris, it's 7 o'clock at night. If I want to talk to my friend Don, okay, who's in Spain, he's 6 or 7 hours ahead, I forget. Okay, like they're already in their day, follow? Okay, so at the end of the day, getting up early is only going to help you especially if you are running a business that's around the world. If you're running a business that's purely North America, same thing. If you're in a central time zone, the East Coast is already up and running. Okay. The West Coast is about to be. Work your East Coast market, work your central market, work your mountain time, and then work your West Coast market as you get through the day. I mean, these are all things that you learn by doing. But going back to your question about habits, get up early, hydrate. Most people are dehydrated in our country, okay? Water, okay, lots and lots of this stuff, okay? Keep your body hydrated, keep your brain hydrated, okay? Your body's 70% water, so your brain's 70% water. Keep the water flowing throughout the day, okay? And then the other thing is have short-term goals. You know, we talked about the long-term 20 years and down to one day, but have a short-term goal. I learned from a guy named Tom Hopkins. Tom's still around. He's probably, I'm guessing Tom's in his 80s now, but I met Tom. I was 21, I think, 22. I went to a seminar he was doing in New Jersey. And he said, here's what you do before you go to bed. You write down the six most important things you need to achieve tomorrow. And then you circle the ones that are the priority. So, for example, if I've got six prospecting calls and I know two of them are people who are really keen to get involved in my business, I'm going to circle them because it's a priority. I talk to them tomorrow. Now, by doing that before I go to sleep on an index card, by doing that, my brain's locked into tomorrow. While I'm sleeping, while I'm getting my rest and everything else, my brain knows tomorrow. Those two people are really, really important to my business. I need to contact them. Okay. So once again, the brain's really smart. The brain, by the way, the brain's working while you're sleeping. So that being the case, let it work for you, but feed it the right stuff. You know, here's another thing. Don't watch the news before you go to bed. News by its very nature is not good. That being the case, what happens? You watch and you go, oh my God, the Russians and the Ukrainians are killing each other. The Israelis and the Palestinians are killing each other. You know, this is happening, that's happening. Tariffs, da 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 da, whatever it is. And all of a sudden you go to bed. Well, that's the last thing that's locked in here is a negative thought. You got to change that. Okay. And by the way, I've had to deprogram myself on it. Okay. During the last election, it was like you're watching all this stuff, the back and forth. It's like, whoa. The end of the day, it's one person or the other person. Not that much is going to change. But if my thoughts are all negative when I go to bed, I'm going to wake up the next day and not have a productive day. I can't afford that as a father. I can't afford that as a leader in my industry. I can't afford that as a podcaster. I can't afford that as somebody that other people look to for some vision. I can't afford to be that guy that's all negative about everything else that's going on because it's going to adversely affect not only me, but other people. And that's not fair to them. So, you know, the news is the news. Not going to change it watching it. Don't watch it.
I absolutely agree. I think it goes very much in line with one of my favorite Stoic philosophies in the sense of control what you can control and let go of the things that you can't. And I mean, in to the point of politics, yes, you can place your vote, but aside from that, you watching the news, you watching whatever else is not going to make a change. So I love all these practical habit takeaways and that you left there for our listeners with getting up early, hydrating, putting something useful in your mind, going to bed on time as well, and yeah, not watching the news. So John, thank you so much for your wisdom. I will most certainly make sure to link all your socials, your podcast, and everything else in the show notes so people can learn more from you, can read your books, and can really get even more practical steps to become their best selves. Thank you truly for your time.
Thank you, and we're going to have you on our show too. We'll send you out a Calendly, so we'll get you on and close to our
Amazing.
own wonderful work that you're doing. This has been a privilege. Thank you so much for the invitation. And let me share one other quick thing, if I can.
Of course, yes, go ahead.
I just interviewed a guy who is a, believe it or not, he's a Franciscan Episcopalian priest, and Franciscans, of course, are, you know. St. Francis was their role model. And oh, I'm not going to find a note when I need it. But I think it was 1219, a while ago, like 800 years ago, that St. Francis sat down with the leader of the Muslim community, and they were about to go to war. Right? The Christians and the Muslims were ready to go to war. Boy, we never heard that before, right? We never heard that in history. St. Francis literally went, knocked on the door where this gentleman was. And the guy said, "Well, he's either crazy, maybe we should kill him, or maybe we should let him in." And they sat and they made peace. That's why I think where we need to be as people today. We need to be peacemakers. Okay, no matter what people's opinions are, if they're different than us in terms of politics, in terms of diet, in terms of whatever, be peacemakers. Love each other. Okay, because the world needs more of that. Okay, and I'm not an old hippie, by the way. I'm like a conservative business guy at the end of the day. But what I know is, as I get older, that what we need to do is preach peace to people and hearing the other person's point of view. Doesn't mean you need to agree with it, okay? But just like St. Francis did with that other gentleman that from the other side, talk about it. And that's gonna, that accurate communication is gonna allow progress.
What a wonderful message. Thank you so much for adding that on. I love it absolutely. I want to almost auditively highlight that for people to take away. So again, John, thank you so much. I've really appreciated the time we've had together. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with John. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow on Instagram or YouTube. And remember, if you want personalized help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we'd love to guide you. One more thing before you go, if you're looking for premium supplements, our partner, Fat Muscle Project, has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more. And feel free to use our code NCL for your chance to win a $250 gift card every month. Thank you for listening.